Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. Sorry we're getting on the air a little late tonight. We had a little glitch, no problem. Tonight's show, Feeling Anger and Fear. The gift is power. It's all in the shadow. And welcome to my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Thank you. Glad to be here. How you doing?
Fine.
I'm ready for anger. I'm ready for my shadow.
Oh, excellent.
Bring it on. We're ready.
Oh, unfortunately, we've got it reflecting all over the place. So, with the events this week, and I want to read something from Debbie Ford, which I thought was very powerful. It's an excerpt. I'll include the whole article in this month's newsletter or next month's newsletter. She wrote, "The Destruction of Hidden Rage. Suppressed anger, rage, and hate born out of years of shame, neglect, abuse, emotional isolation, and unattended hurt must eventually come to the surface. It can show up so many ways. How much unprocessed rage and hate do you think have been festering inside the young man who went on a rampage in Blacksburg, Virginia? The shadow containing the disowned, the hidden, and denied parts of ourselves sometimes pops up in horrific ways on a global scale, and other times it pops up in smaller, less dramatic ways. We get tired. The beach ball, our painful feelings and dark thoughts that we've been trying to keep submerged underwater where no one will see it, pops up and hits us in the face. We self-destruct, destroying our own lives and oftentimes others. What most people don't understand is that when we see the outrageous nature of some acts, this is the key piece here, of violence or even self-sabotage, we personally get the momentary relief of believing that we're not that bad, that pitiful, that angry, or that hateful. A little pressure gets released when we read about or hear about the bad things other people are doing." I just thought that this was such a crucial piece because this is exactly how our shadow plays out on the planet. Like a pressure valve or a pressure cooker for all those of you women who've ever had one. And,
I was just thinking what she was saying is that empathy with that extreme release pulls a little release out of each of us. Is that right? Is that what I heard you read?
It's not the empathy. It's that we in ourselves look at the act, whatever it is, and feel that we're not that bad, that pitiful, that angry, or that hateful ourselves, which lets the release valve off a little bit. It lets us release some of ours, not through the empathy, but by saying, "Oh, thank God I'm not that bad." And we take some of that, it releases some of that and some of the judgment about it. It it's a long piece, it's a very powerful piece, but I wanted just to include that excerpt, especially because I know that everybody I've talked to this week has had rage coming at them from some place, either feeling it ourselves, and we've all had an experience. Before we get into it, Ronnie, I want to read a couple of these emails. One's incredibly long, but probably one of the most powerful things anybody has written. and folks, I want to tell you, your emails are really important to this show. It gives the feedback because you're the ones going through it, experiencing it. We're all in process together here. Here's one. "Your show last night was right on the mark, so much I cried." This is about last week. "I've had stifle issues concerning money, flow, and abundance for the past 3 years especially. The thing about parent figures having a direct correlation to our power," this was about the religious figure that was a parent figure, "and stifling us is an understatement. Not only have my parents influenced my prosperity level, but when they were living, had a problem with prosperity issues themselves. My stepmother especially took away my dignity, and my dad's lack of support did it also. I desperately want to get back myself on track and have been working diligently listening to your shows every week. It's been painful, but I think it's making me aware on a larger scale of how shame and guilt affect us all. She goes on to talk about a new boss of hers came to her and talked about to her out of the blue about his personal problems he was having with his estranged wife and why they were presently separated. And I thought, why has this man chosen me of all people to talk about this issue? The next day she came into our job for dinner and he joined her. He was a nervous wreck and it made me see just how manipulation, guilt, and shame can mess up a relationship. She appeared to be very judgmental. I felt like saying to this man when he talks to me again, having guilt and shame over who you are in a relationship is not love. I don't think a person should feel that nervous around someone that they've been married to. And then I got to thinking about myself and when I've been in relationships with men that I felt I wasn't good enough and that my relationship with my dad where I never felt I was good enough, there was always something wrong with me. Wow, that program of yours last night really hit a nerve. I haven't been in a relationship for over 13 years. For fear, I'll attract the same kind of guy. I need your help with this. I do not expect overnight miracles. I was attracted to a married man for a short while and decided it was not in my best interest. I want so much to feel good enough for a man. This is a key statement here. To be in my life again and be able to trust a man and not put my garbage from my past on him. I don't want to attract a man with the same problem as me. We attract what we think, so how long does this process take until the day we die? You hit the nail on the head last night. You gave me and others the core reason for no satisfaction in abundance and love life. Now what do we do? Hypnosis? What? I know where the problem originated. I forgive my parents, but now what? Your loyal listener. And, you know, I just thought this was, again, a really profound, going back to our projections, our unresolved issues with mom and dad, both projecting them on to every partner that we bring in. We're still working out those issues, that stuff in the shadow. The child's unhealed, the adolescent is unhealed, and so you're trying to have a relationship, an adult relationship, and you have your child and adolescent running the show because they're unhealed. This is, again, this is as the stuff in the shadow starts bubbling up, I can see where it's really stirring up in people and the weaving, Ronnie, that includes our abundance and all kinds of issues, because especially issues with dad, okay,
mm-hmm.
And where we've lost our dignity and we've lost so much of ourselves, and that it has a direct impact on abundance, and it's woven in there. It's really woven in there. And whether you're a man or a woman listening to this, this stuff does sit in the shadow. It's woven in deeply. I hope you're all, you've all gotten your Lazarus workbook and the Debbie Ford book and Lazarus's tape on the shadow. These are really important tools, and be journaling, really journaling. The one thing about Lazarus's workbook, there's lots of room for journaling and keep your own journal. I when I look at the dad stuff over and over again, I've been working all week long with people on this same issue over and over and over. It's been popping up. Go to your trigger words, okay? Ask your little girl, go in, if you can do it in meditation or just go into an altered state, have your little girl, what does your little girl think of men? Now, her role for men is dad, okay?
Right.
And then go to your adolescent. What do you see? And then to your adult. It's amazing. Ronnie, I think you're with me on this, aren't you?
I am, very much so. I was thinking that I went into my little girl in a meditation, and I started to find, it's funny that one of my big words is power. And it has something to do with...
Hello?
Hello? You already knew that, huh? But it's funny because I used to, when I was very small, I always had tummy aches, always. I was quite an empath and nobody knew it and blah, blah. But in any case, I went back to talk to my little child, and I was working on the issue of father and dignity, and I kept getting these terrible stomach aches. As my inner child, you know, working with my inner child was getting terrible stomach aches, and so was I. So
okay,
that's pretty strong.
That's your real little girl. That's where your power is. Third chakra.
My stomach aches.
Oh.
Well, that's very I mean, it's really very interesting that it was so succinct and so rapid. You know, I mean, that's really quite powerful stuff, isn't it?
Well, when we're being supported through these processes, when we go into meditation, when we do anything, and, you know, this came up weeks ago. I said, guys, you're all assigned a team. You're being assisted on every level to walk through this.
Mm.
Because it takes courage to do this and to do it as a group. And we're all connected. There's no way for us not to be. So, consequently, there is a direct belief. We're being watched, we're being studied, not to be invasive, but we're making a map here because we're all doing it together and allowing it to play out in our lives, allowing our higher selves and our guides together with the others that are helping us here to shift human consciousness.
Mm-hmm. I would like to see some results.
Well, the fact that you're recognizing it is a result.
Yes.
Is a result, okay? And
well, can I say,
go ahead.
Something else I'd like to say about the power after having that little awareness and the stomach ache and all that kind of stuff. I've had, and I get this way when I'm processing things. I had these sudden feelings of like I'd think of the word power, and my whole body would move around, and my perceptions would shift, and I'd know something is refiling or doing something different. But it's very disorienting. So that was, I guess, one of my evidences that my process is actually potent, you know?
Okay. Another wonderful process is to go back to specific times in your childhood that you felt powerless rage, where you weren't allowed to speak, where you were being stripped of power. And look at the people who are there through the child's eyes or the adolescent's eyes. Be them. And see where your power's sitting. And either they'll be holding it in their stomach or in their heart or above their head or in their hands. Take it back. And pull it into your solar plexus, into your third chakra. Take it away. See,
take it away from the person?
Absolutely. Pull it back into you. That's a big chunk of power sitting there. Anytime you were in a situation where you were feeling powerless rage,
mm-hmm.
feeling that you were being stripped of your dignity, that's a huge chunk of power. And that's the reason we don't feel strong enough to go into, as this listener wrote, into a new relationship, terrified they're going to attract the same thing because they never took their power back from dad. They never took their power back from mom. And the problem is that when you attract someone into your life, you're going to project those unresolved issues with mom and dad onto them, and a lot of times you can't even see that person. This is the old story of God, they looked so good in the beginning. I don't know what happened. They turned into, you know. And it's because and I've lived this one. You've literally projected, in my case, both mom and dad. And mm-hmm. so I can't see the person anymore. And my child is really running the relationship at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Desperate, needing to be safe. And the adolescent rebelling and not wanting to be controlled, and you've got all the conflicts going on. Make sense, Veronica?
It sure does. Well, can I speak of one more complication I had with power?
Sure.
When I was, I think I've told you this story before, but when I was young, my sister died. I was 5. I was 6. I was in second grade. And the nun said to me, God took my sister because I was bad. And that, I think, is the reason I'm thinking of this story so much is that it's a power that confused me because I felt like I had a power. You understand? I felt like I had a power that was really, really out of control. And that's been a big issue about power. So when I say it's a trigger word, I have a stomachache right now thinking of what could happen if people knew me or if people were around me. Do you understand what I mean?
Well, the implication is that you're evil and dangerous.
Yes.
That's the implication. And it's
so the fear of power is very strong. You see, the fear of power gets all distorted, doesn't it? It's like
okay,
not
so,
simple, not like not having it. It's like being afraid of it.
Of course, you've got a god and goddess figure, okay, because you've got the nun.
Right.
So it's like a Mother Mary figure, if you will, but
right.
still on the goddess genre, telling mm-hmm. you what a bad, terrible child you are, that you were the cause of your sister's death.
Right.
And so you've got absolute terrified shame and fear tied to power.
Right.
Of course you would never want to be powerful again. I might
No,
kill
and I was 18 before I admitted to my mother what had happened because I thought when she knows that, it's going to be game over, right? You know what I mean? It's
Thank
all
you.
Distorted, but so many of us are distorted that from those kinds of ways.
Religion.
Yeah.
Now, this is one where you really need to go, I mean, Veronica, you need to go back and take your power back there.
Right.
And, you know, I don't care if you have got a struggler to the floor, but literally, and you went into shock, plus you were also stripped of dignity and innocence all in one fell swoop.
Right.
You lost it all.
Yeah, that was pretty powerful, wasn't it?
Yes, you lost it all in one fell. How old were you?
Six.
Whew.
Yeah. But I'm very conscious of this one, and I have worked on it before, but I noticed that there's a twirl or a twist in power, and I think it comes from all that.
Of course
and
it does.
It's not a simple thing just to clear it, is it?
No, and, well, you know, you and I will work on this, but you know that... this is going to have two effects on you. One, you're going to be afraid of anybody that exerts power.
Right.
And two, you're going to be afraid of your own power. And immediately what it does is it keeps you from ever really having big influence for fear that you could hurt other
people.
That's
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to constantly invalidate yourself. You're never going to believe you're worthy of success. For fear that if you got power and success, oh my God, I might do something horrible and not mean to.
Right.
Boy, that's.
I believe I'm moving out of that, but I know it's still there. You know.
Okay.
I believe I'm working on it.
Shoo.
Yeah, it's a real turning point, isn't it?
It's huge.
Mhm.
Now, I've got a nice note for you, and I will get back to this in a minute because I want to go more into the rage because I know it's been coming up for you. And rage will come up because that was powerless rage.
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody literally kicking you in the stomach, taking your power and your magic all at the same time. Okay. So your issues around that third chakra, and it's more than just taking your power. It is that twist on power and also on magic. You'd be afraid of all of it.
In a way, yes.
Right. I mean, not that I know you employ it, but I don't think that you can wield it and own it because of the imprint that's there.
Yeah. Well, we're changing that right now, aren't we?
Yes, we are. this is an email for you. I want to pass this along to Veronica. I have this is the lady that last week we talked about her experience with reclaiming her power from the spiritual teacher when she was shamed in front of her peers, about 400 of them. And Veronica, you had commented on whether or not, because what had happened, it locked into her prosperity. The teacher taught a lot of things about prosperity. So she said, I want to pass, and you challenged about whether or not she's going to be able to make money now. And she said, I want to pass this along to Veronica. I have a preview of an answer to her comment on last night's show. After you told the spiritual teacher story, I don't want to use the name, adding that I'd made money later with my husband, Father God projection, and that we didn't make so much money after I left the job and he worked it alone. Veronica said, wouldn't it be great now if she went out and made a bunch of money by herself? You quickly put in the comment about me making the biggest change in my life. I appreciated your being careful not to set up a specific expectation for me knowing who I am. Anyway, here's the story. This morning I was going to pick up new glasses for my husband and myself, realized just before walking out the door that I needed to pay for them. Due to an emergency vet appointment Thursday morning, I didn't have the credit available, but I just thought I'll deal with it when I get there. The money will come, and I hopped on the train. I got to the street where the office is and thought I'll check to see if our IRS refund is in. We'd been checking 5 times a day to no avail. While putting my card in the ATM, I called her husband and told him our dilemma. He said, I'm in a meeting. I said, okay, I'll take care of it myself. Hung up as I pushed the check balance button, closed my eyes, and started to visualize a number. Then realized that state and federal would come in separately and adjusted to the federal number we expected. Opened my eyes, and for a split second, there was no difference between visualization and reality. They were the same. There was the exact number, and then I was back in the ATM lobby, and there was the number. So literally, she moved out of her body. She was inside what she was creating and then brought it back into the physical.
Woo-hoo.
Now, I didn't go out and make that money, but I've been maintaining that we put our foot down. What we need in our reality will come up to meet it. I now realize there's something around me pushing the abundance for both of us, a weight against her husband's fear and or my projected fear. He keeps talking about what if foreclosure and bankruptcy, and I keep saying I'm not choosing that. More detail exploration for next session. The timing and details in this story are a message to me, confirming what they told me during our session and that I got my power and magic back. So, Veronica, I'm going to make/create a bunch of money by myself. I'll let you know how it goes. Thanks for the great idea. She appreciated it. And then she just says, thanks for making this so much fun. This is a big attractor for me. And her P.S., what makes this so important to me is that after giving my power away, I was afraid to try to visualize or create specifics because it hurt so bad when it failed.
Hmm.
And this is tied back.
I've done that before.
Yeah, well, this was tied back to where she gave her power. Okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when she took her power back, the hurt wasn't there. It wasn't disappointing the God figure. Okay, I didn't do it right. Something's wrong with me. Okay, and this is kind of when we work with spiritual teachers, okay,
mm-hmm.
and we feel that there is, just like with our parents, that there is a level that we must achieve. In other words, we have to earn. It almost comes into an earning love. This is the whole God thing through religion. If I'm a really good girl, if I get my lesson right, if I do my chores, and, you know, if I got what you told me right, I'm going to show you that I can do it, and I'll be a favorite. I'll be okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be enough. Another cute one, are you feeling the energy with people and the huge processing that's going on? Wow, huge amounts of issues and emotional flare-ups. Shame and power issues are bubbling up for many. Now, the shadow work I'm finding fascinating and magical. It's like a bright light has gone on inside, and I'm finding the treasures that have been waiting for me. New ways of looking at our stuff or what we thought were other people's stuff, only to find out that it was our own.
Funny how that works.
Love this. Absolutely love it. And I've been seeing this one all over the place with people, some that I've known a long time, some are clients, where they're finally, and I want to say this because this, I think, is also an important piece, and I think it goes back to you too, Veronica.
Okay.
When that happened to you, it also, with the nun, it also triggers primitive survival. It's almost as though, because she is a God figure, all right? It is...
I can't hear you. Your phone is popping out.
All right. Oh, they may have us on a different... I don't know if we're on analog this week or not. They...
Hey, Don, can you hear that? Oh, my.
Right. Are you hearing me, Ronnie?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. When something shocking happens to you, and I have two clients, I'll go into this story, where they had to step in to protect from their perspective as a child, and we're talking about the same age that you were, Veronica,
mm-hmm.
to protect mom and a sister. Both of them had exactly the same situations from a brutal attack by a father. They literally went into stark survival, primitive survival. Their very existence on the planet was at stake. That's how a child perceives those kinds of shocking events, just like you did.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right? The fire and brimstone thing, like you could have literally been banished from the earth for what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, for a child who has an abusive parent and is trying to save another parent and a child, or save themselves. It is primitive fear. And that primitive fear of survival can be so strong that tying it to taking power, this is the one, the fear comes up greater, the fear of not surviving is greater than the need to reclaim the power. And somehow they are locked together, woven together. So it's the fear you also need to deal with, which I think you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where it locks in, Veronica. And
fear of taking the power.
Well, the fear of, literally, fear of survival,
mm-hmm.
of no longer existing on the planet.
Right.
All right? In other words, from your young, this little six-year-old child, that kind of shock, to have them tell you that you were responsible for the death of your sister, okay,
mm-hmm.
threatens your survival. Survival meaning that you will cease to exist. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I do, actually. I'm just sort of catching on to the impact it's had on how I took charge of the rest of my life, actually, where I was never quite enthusiastic about doing whatever it is I was supposed to do. It was like putting in time.
Exactly. You could never really get to the passion, really get to the power and all the things you needed to implement.
Yeah,
now,
because it's scary, isn't it? You know, if you...
Right. Now, these other people... Okay, although their situation is different, the emotional circumstances in terms of needing to survive primitive survival,
mm-hmm.
powerless rage, loss of power, stripping of dignity, all of those things, getting them back into that circumstance, in most cases, people actually can't relive it because they can't remember it. They remember the essence of it, but they go into shock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you forget the whole thing, most of it, actually.
Right. There's an emotional imprint, but not actually a literal experience. In other words, and then. So the only thing you can do meditatively then is to take an amalgam of that child experience and focus it from an emotional pinpoint and move in through the emotions rather than the physical experience. You pull the experience into the emotions instead of the other way around.
But, when you're talking about shock, for any of us who have a shock, isn't there a really big numbness when you go back in there? You don't feel the emotions in a way, do you?
We've done it in session, and we can get to the emotions. But, again, it takes an intercession, in essence.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be an intercession of some type. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you can ask your guides and you can ask your team that's helping and assisting you right now to help you do it. Or you can, we'll help you. I mean, when we do it, we literally surround people in this bubble of, of love. And I'm going to read this next email and you're going to get what I'm saying here. To take them to an experience that they can't possibly access or comprehend so that it can change and shift so they can reclaim what's lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's you lost a piece of yourself, literally.
That's right.
I think you're trying to live a life missing pieces of you. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I guess most people have some version of that, right?
Right. And we're fading in and out here, Veronica. Now you're fading in and out.
Oh, really?
So I hope.
Is this better?
No.
Hey, Don, can you hear this? Are you there now, Jackie?
Okay, I'm going to read this email. Veronica, can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
All right. This is a long one, and I'm going to try to get through this without crying. This is a powerful, powerful experience. I appreciate the person that shared this. I feel it's time for me to connect. I really don't know anyone that I can talk with about this experience that I had with the beloved ETs and Masters and you as the channel. I don't normally share my experiences in moments. Over the last while, I felt stillness. Within that stillness is a sense of safety that I have not felt. As you know, safety is a large issue for me, one of many. This experience is so deep, words don't always come to express. However, I have a knower, and my knower knows. I am a writer, and this is the tip of my crystal. Really, the only words that come are wow, love, and gratitude, and lots of pure laughter. I see now how this life has overlaid others. Each day I receive memories, and now I can look at them and see how it fits, and most of all, reclaim. I've always known something happened to me as a child. I've been told it, felt it, though never could touch it. I always felt it, and it was not of this life, something from long ago, long, long ago. I'm beginning to understand my feeling of separateness mending. I would listen to the show on shame. I got Lazarus tape. Still, I wasn't able to even understand what the hell was wrong with me. Why would I see others moving along with me stuck in such pain? I would have no words for what I felt. I just knew I felt it. I felt something, though, but I could not touch it. So self-blame and self-judgment would arise, my failure. I would look back at myself, even in pictures, and I looked so sad, so flawed, so afraid. What did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? Why was I always being punished and tortured? The last session gave me some pieces of my life back, my heart hurting as we traveled to Atlantis. Beautiful Atlantis. Words do not express the beauty I felt, the love that I so long ago locked away. The pain of it being held back that I failed. Being wrapped in the love of the beloved ones, I remembered. I saw, I felt, I knew. See, I've always known something, just never knew what it was, but impending doom. I was doing great work with crystals. Oh, I did love them, and they loved me. I would really focus on letting this in, allowing this as a fear would want to override. Still, I knew something was coming, and then it began the shaking. my working to save my work, my crystals, my friends that I loved and tended to, the ground opening my life, the plan, the purpose all breaking and shattering as the earth opened, the pain in my heart, the loss, the failure, I failed. After the earth opening up and the darkness over me, seeing the destruction of the beauty that was created, I was taken to the Atlantis that was saved by those that did not buy into the fear that held their beliefs. To all those, I give my gratitude and love. I feel true gratitude and love for those. You see, they saved Atlantis, and it does exist. I experienced it. My crystals of love were there. I saw them. I felt them. I opened to the love that was encoded in them and me. All there. I've always seemed to know this. However, the pain was so great, so deep, I could not allow it. I now have tears that fall not from sadness. They are from your reunion. Love, the joy, the reunion of joy and love in me. The power of love. Wow. The ETs and masters know me so well and how my brain has closed in. Although there was a crack in it to allow them to take me back to a child, a younger me lying in my bed, knowing it was coming, something again, feeling it, fearing it, hearing the noise in my head. Oh no, not that noise. Knowing that I must have done something wrong to deserve such a punishment. No control, frozen, not being able to move. Lifting off my bed onto a ship there on the table. So afraid, terror, not fear. Deeper than that, stronger than that, no words. Paralyzed, shadow. Hide it away, stuff it within. Survive, somehow survive. Graves, even the word brings up an energy of terror. I've not read up on them. All I knew prior was that they did abductions and experiments on humans. Oh, sure, others have been abducted, not me. Such a thick wall of shame. Unspeakable, untouchable, stay in the shadow. You see, I've always been afraid that I would be taken over, that something was going to get me. The first session I had with you before the session, I felt them. I had so much fear, I'm surprised that they got through. I relaxed the best I could and even then pushed the memory of abductions further down. I remember one time, Jackie, you asked me if I was afraid of the dark. No, I said, thinking to myself. I wonder if what's in the closet or under the bed is fear of the dark. And the little voice within said, what about the window? I laugh now, though. I realize how, even then, I was blocking the fear I so long ago felt shame over. The violation, my dignity, my choice gone. As I lay on my bed traveling in the love of the universe, I was shown a room. This is all during a session. I'm older now. I'm not alone in this room. A woman, like being, in that instant I knew. I knew, I knew. I knew I signed up for this. Yet as a child, I could not process it. Too much for a little girl. My old fears came, walked through, and then a surge ran through me as I looked around the room. Children. Two for sure that were mine. I knew, and then my heart opened. Love flowed. Sounds like such a small word for the feeling that was coming through me out to my children. And then back to me. I knew that I did nothing wrong, that this was meant to be, how it was meant to be, that I was in a small way connected. You see, Jackie, in this life, I had two abortions that were never talked about. I was a young teenager, and in my early 20s, I held in my pain and shame. I had a hysterectomy to try to cut that part of myself away, to somehow end the shame of being female, the shame of being me, and what happened to me, and make sure that there were no little me's running around. I know with all that, I am these children I saw are meant to be where they are. It is in the plan, their plan of great work. I felt the celebration of the universe, a celebration for me. Oh, my God, for me. My eyes are leaking when I recall this experience. A celebration for me, a celebration for all. The lifting is incredible. Wow. Oh, my God, wow. The lifting and repairing is continuing. I am seeing how this affected my life and how it is now healing. This healing is empowering me. You and the ETs and masters you work with are so gentle, loving, and kind. Something that I have fought, defended, and denied to protect myself from not being safe. Left in the shadow and the shame. I feel more safe with them. It is building. I would like it to be quicker, faster. My mind would not cope. I understand that. There's so much more. I still desire and am willing. Thank you also for being on this journey. I know it affected you as the loving beings would stop and say you were leaking. I was. I felt that while I was in journey, I felt your presence, your strength, that I feel that now too. She goes on to say, I've seen my deck of cards, her life, scattered across the floor. I have now seen my cards coming together, a lifeline of pictures, pieces of myself coming to me, allowing this love I have out. A time ago, I had a dog. He died young. His time in teaching was done. However, I felt fear and shame, something wrong with me that I failed. I can't love. Love will be taken, and on the list. He came to me after his passing, and he said, the pain in your heart is not in my death. It is in keeping your heart closed to love. I get it. I know. I feel. I am.
Oh my.
And for those of you, because that was kind of long, in one experience, she was taken back to Atlantis to the destruction. I mean, this was one you know, I don't know where these sessions are going, and she's been, of course, listening to the radio shows, and this is somebody you actually know, Veronica.
Oh.
But in one session, in order to reclaim pieces of her power, they took her back to Atlantis, and then they took her through her abduction experience, and they fast-tracked it. So that she went back and backdoored it, kind of. She was taken aboard ship to where an elder would bring the children. And then the whole thing kind of opened up and unfolded, and all the memories came back in. But she had to be held in tremendous love and safety for that to all open. To me, I just couldn't believe they did it all in one session. I almost felt like it was too much, and yet I can't question it because somehow all those pieces fit into one another. But I had to share that. I just truly, I think, one of the most powerful emails I've ever gotten. And I thank you for sharing that one. It was, I asked her at the end of the session to write about it because it was
pretty stunning.
Such an emotional experience. And she's right. I always travel when we travel during sessions. And, you know, to go to these places, and she could just never reach in and find what had shut her down. So let's talk about anger that's come up this week, Veronica.
What about your anger, Jackie?
I don't know. I mean, have you had pieces, honey?
Oh, I've had huge pieces of anger. All of a sudden, very unreasonable pieces. And
oh,
I
good.
Said to you,
would you like
at one point? What?
Would you like to talk about them?
I'm admitting them. How's that? You know, hanging on. <myself. laughs>
Well,
I will go for the gusto, right? At one point, I was really weird. I was very angry at almost everyone that I encountered, and I was feeling used by a lot of people. And I don't know if I really, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not the way I think normally at all. And I just was out of control. I think I spent 3 days, we can ask Bob, but maybe I don't want to ask him on the radio. I was unreasonable. I was very angry about a lot of things for a couple of days. It was really interesting. Just really angry, you know, really prompted by any little thing like, I've always felt this anger, and this is terrible, and I'm really frustrated with this. And did you have any of that? It was crazy.
Yes, actually I did. I had my, I was giving away a very large fountain. This thing belonged, you know, on a in a villa in Italy, okay? And it just didn't work with all of my Buddhas, okay? Mm-hmm. It just dominated the whole yard. And so it was enormous, and I wanted to give it away. And one of my friends arranged for it to go out to a big ranch out here. And so she had people coming to get it. Well, they were totally unprepared for the size.
How big
and
is it again?
I'm sorry?
How big is it again?
Oh, I'm telling you, if you see a picture of a villa in Italy with a big round circular driveway and a huge fountain in the center of the driveway,
oh,
that's
a so, mammoth fountain.
I'm sure this house belonged to some casino host or something. So, at any rate, so these two men came with nothing, just their bodies, and you know, they were trying to borrow a dolly from one of my neighbors, and I said, "You can't do that. You can't take this out. It all disassembles, but you can't take it out on a dolly. You'll bend the dolly." And this man, this ranch hand, looked at me and told me to shut my trap.
hey, Jackie, is that a trigger word?
Actually, I've never heard it before, but it was. What it was indignation. What he triggered in me is I treat everyone with respect. I mean, I treat my dog like she's a queen. Mm-hmm. I treat everyone with respect, except for maybe my dentist.
Don't bite him.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm so psychic, I know what their motivations are, so as long as I don't have to read you. But at any rate, I was furious. I honestly, truly, I thought I was going to explode right on the spot. I had to walk in the house. And he threw everything down and walked out. And my girlfriend, who had arranged for all this, that was going out to a ranch where she keeps her horses, she's like, "Now, Jackie, calm down, calm." And I said, "He's never coming on my property again. That's it. No one comes on this property and treats me with disrespect. No one." I was enraged, and I was amazed, because here I was giving the fountain away. This thing is unbelievably costly, all right? So, at any rate, I was undone for, because she said he's coming back tomorrow, and blah. I didn't want him on my property, and I was having a real struggle with this, and it was keeping me awake. And I was up at 4:30 the next morning. I'm out there measuring it, and it's so big it won't fit through my gate and so on. And I thought, okay, Jackie, you know, come on, get control of you. What's really wrong here? Well, you have a dignity piece because you have boundaries, okay? I do have very strong boundaries. And so I said, okay, this is going to disappoint your friend because she has offered it to her friend, and it, you know, it will make her look bad. Is it really that important? And I thought, no, it really is not. But I'm going to miscreate if I keep doing this. They're not going to be able to get it out of here. They're going to break something. Something's going to happen. So I called my son, who is a wonderful, he calls himself Switzerland. He's neutral. And had him come because I had to be somewhere, and I needed someone here just to represent the house. And it was all perfect. But it's interesting, the handyman or the workman from the ranch came, and he was lovely. My son was shocked that he had been upset at all. So I had to change me. I got really clear that it was just a real trigger. Disrespect is a trigger. If I see a man disrespecting a woman, it probably is never a good plan to do it in front of me.
Because why did you tell you to shut your trap? What was the trigger for him?
I told him he couldn't take it out on just a dolly with just two men. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to borrow a dolly from a neighbor, and it would have broken the dolly. And, you know, then I'd be replacing a dolly for a neighbor. And I'm sure he had something else going on. Regardless, you see, I got real clear that needed to come out. It is a trigger for me. Mm-hmm. You know, if people I treat this house with a lot of respect because of what goes on here. I really do. I mean, this to me is like a temple, and I, you know, when I walk into the healing room, I welcome everybody, and I talk to you. Good morning, everyone, you know, thank you, and, you know, it's a matter of just showing a lot of respect. I respect what goes on here, and I always have, always will. And so I do get real testy if somebody comes and either disrespects me. Now, if I had not been on the property, I don't think it would have bothered me. Somebody blew up at me the other day who, in a car, which I hadn't done anything wrong at all. He actually, it was him, but we're in Las Vegas. There's a lot of road rage here. And I just kind of looked at him and went, yeah, okay. That part didn't bother me. But this is a trigger. If you come here and you're disrespectful, and, you know, my children warn people when they bring them here, you know, if it's a couple, don't argue. You know, if they're bringing their children, don't raise your voice.
So do you think the anger in you came up partially because of this shadow work and the also the crazy astrological stuff that's going on right now? Do you think it's just
right now? If you'll notice, they planned this in alignment with all the astrological stuff.
Right.
Certain we couldn't miss it.
We sure can't, can we?
I'm sorry?
We sure can't, can we?
Oh no. Mm-hmm. The planning, thank heaven I'm so unconscious, because when they tell me this is time to do something, I just accept it. I know better than to argue, and now I know why. Because mm-hmm. everything was aligned to support it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there's no question about it. Absolutely. But once I saw it, I disrespect to people, to any human, I have great difficulty with. But it's interesting, that same night, I have another girlfriend that quit her job. She was running a huge portfolio for her ex-husband, like $400 million worth of properties. And literally, I won't tell you what she told him to do with the properties, but she walked out.
I wonder if we can guess, eh?
Really, there were a whole series of things that happened that day where it was all around respect and dignity and no longer being willing to tolerate it. It was very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, this is definitely coming up for everyone. And the anger, and I want to tell all of you listening here, if it comes up inappropriately, please don't judge it. Just feel it and let it come out. Hopefully it's not going to come out inappropriately where you're going to do some damage.
Breaking fountains and things like that.
Oh, there was one darling person who's listening tonight. Something happened at her job, and where they had a company come in that was doing a new computer system, and the new system was worse than the old system. And this is for a huge, I won't say who it is, but anyway, it affected many different things that have actually affected the city of Las Vegas and or the county or whatever, and it was a very big deal. And what was interesting is that it was inappropriate, it was misleading what they did, they'd misled everyone, and all of a sudden her power popped out, and literally people, you know, were kind of blanched backwards, and so she kind of surprised herself.
Now, was she proud? Was she proud of herself?
Yes, actually, she was very proud of herself. Definitely found her voice.
Yay!
And, yes, exactly, and her power, and this is...
Yeah, because the reason I asked that is because the whole movement of the shadow, what's in the shadow, is supposed to release power for us, isn't it? Creative power, challenge in our lives.
Absolutely. When we find those places where we've given power away, you know, I have one friend who is struggling with her husband, and he just keeps pushing her buttons and pushing her buttons and pushing her buttons. He's being a great teacher, but right now she doesn't want to see him as a teacher. She wants to kill him, and I keep telling her, hide the knife, hide the knife.
Pop first, pop.
Well, oh, goodness.
Well, my guide said to watch for, as you move these things through and become aware of it, watch for body changes, watch for even gas or shaking, dizziness, funny kind of imbalances. They said watch for that and then really applaud them because those are often signs of this release going on as well.
Oh, no question about it. At one point, I had someone walk in the house, and they thought I had a thyroid condition because my eyes were literally bulging out of my head. I had so much energy running through me that I could not, and that's the night that I blew with this man. Although I didn't blow at him, I just blew internally. But I literally could not control the power coming through me, the energy coming through me. It was so big. And it was, you know, I've told you my hair has been falling out, my skin's been burning, just more energy than I can really manage.
Hmm.
So we've done some things to adjust it. And thank heaven it's a little better. But
wonderful.
Well, yes, because... have to calm it down. You know, again, retrieval of power. And you're, don't be surprised if you start seeing some reorganization in your chakras.
Right.
That's where you're really going to see it, is, and that's where these digestive disturbances, and they can go either way, constipation or diarrhea, gas, flatulence, you name it, all kinds of stuff. Not able to sleep, you know, so tired that you can't move. It could be any of those things as this stuff is coming up and out.
So to honor
not,
it.
Yes, absolutely honor it. And thank your guides for bringing that out on the show as well, because that's, they're right on. I just get up every morning and I think, okay, what today?
Keep a sense of humor and let's keep going, yeah.
That's it. That's it. And seeing
well,
it show up
for the release.
All these people's lives, it's just, it's stunning. And next week, I really want to work on trigger words. Unless
next
they have another idea.
Trigger words. Okay, this will be great.
Yes, 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 yes. And we'll.
What about power? We'll start with that again. Unless we're totally done by then with power.
Well, I think it's really interesting, Veronica, your story.
Thanks, yeah.
Because power is a trigger word for you.
Mm-hmm. It is big.
Right. Where most people are trying to reclaim their power, your twist is actually fear of your own power. And in truth, I think most people are afraid of their power.
I think that's true, too.
Not for the same reason.
A friend of ours is just reading Mandela's thing about we're more afraid of our light than we are of our inabilities. It's a similar
Absolutely. And, okay, we've just hit the top of the hour.
Many blessings, and thank you, Jackie.
Veronica, give your website, please, dialing in your radio show.
Okay, it's veronicaentwistle.com. Entwistle has no H. veronicaentwistle.com. And my radio show is Radiance by Design, Tuesday, 4 p.m., West Coast time. It's an interactive call-in show. And we do a lot of, not the same kind of work, but some real tangent work, and we talk about you. See you Tuesday. Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you, everyone. Blessings to everyone who's listening tonight. Website, www.ethealing.com. Many blessings, everyone. Remember that a piece of me is in all of you, and a piece of every one of you is in Veronica and I. It can be no other way. Good night,
Wonderful.
Everyone.
Good night.